Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin,
over death, over all, over all. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and the title of my message is What to Do If You Feel Like a Grasshopper. And I know that all of us have felt that way, where we're intimidated because of what we tell ourselves and our mind, or we're intimidated because of the attitude of other people, or because of circumstances, or lots of reasons that we can feel less than who we are in Christ. And I forgot to do is we mentioned the families of the two young men who were lost their lives last week, but also the five Dallas police officers. Yes. I'm remiss, and I should have written my notes maybe. But we pray for that community and for the law enforcement community and for those, the families of those five men who will never be going home again to their families. All right. Numbers chapter 13. This is a great story. We won't read the entire thing, but it's a great story of God's willingness to intervene on behalf of his people who were experiencing injustice in their day, were enslaved, and they cried out to God, and God heard their cry. And he said to a man by the name of Moses, "Moses, I've heard the cry of my people, and I'm going to move on their behalf, and I'm going to deliver them, and I'm going to give them that which is their own." And so Moses began to lead the people, and when they got at the border of that promise, land of promise for them, they were given an assignment, or Moses was given an assignment to send some influencers and some rulers and some spies into the land to check it out. And in chapter 13, verse 2, God gives him instruction, "Send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. Every tribe, their fathers, shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." So he's telling them, telling Moses to send influencers and people who are leaders among their respective tribes. And so 12 were chosen, and they were sent with a specific assignment. And in verse 20, he says, "Be of good courage as you go." So important when we're assessing the promised land, when we're evaluating our ability to possess what God has promised us, that we always do that with good courage. May I have an amen? Is everyone okay today? And it's been a kind of a heavy week for our nation. We have to acknowledge that. But at the same time, we're more than conquerors through Christ. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The church is a triumphant church. And so we don't have to shrink back, sit back, and be quiet. We can raise up our voice like a trumpet. We can be the example that we are. And if we as a church don't rise up in unity and harmony and mutual respect and love and appreciation for one another, as diverse as we are, then the world has certainly no hope of ever experiencing that. If the church doesn't set the pattern, if we don't set the pace, if we don't give the example, if we don't be the light, is that proper grammar? Then there's no light, because we are the light. Not we are a light, we are the light. We are the light of the world, and so we can be bold and strong and confident and move while we acknowledge the pain of this past few days, that we can move past that with hope and with a sense of victory, because the enemy, and tomorrow night that's what we're going to address, the enemy wants to sow those seeds of discord, and nothing better for the enemy than people divided, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus is clear about that. And we're not going to be a house divided, and we're not going to be a nation divided in the name of Jesus. All right, so you may feel a little bit like a grasshopper, and sometimes that's just how we feel. And it's important to acknowledge our feelings and to be human, because part of being human is having feelings, but we don't camp out there. We don't make the quality decisions of our life based on feelings. Amen. Thank you for your excitement today. God bless you. Glad you came. So he sends in these 12 spies and gives them a specific assignment. Come back with a report and bring back some of the fruit of the land, verse 20, and be of good courage and bring back some of the fruit. That's important, that we want you to bring back some of the fruit, because that fruit is going to be an encouragement. Hello? I said the fruit that they bring back is intended to be an encouragement. So they went and they searched out the land and so on. And verse 25 says, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran and so on. And verse 27, and they told them and said, we came into the land that you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So there they are. They had to take a big tree trunk and, you know, put this, the cluster of grapes was so great, they had to take a piece of wood to put all that fruit between two that carried it. And here is part of the fruit. Nevertheless, verse 28, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and they're great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites in the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and so on and so forth. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, before they could give it, you know, they're saying it's a tough land. But Caleb, trying to instill faith in the people, said, let's go up at once to possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, and it struck fear, of course, in the hearts of the people. And verse 33, and we saw the giants of the sons of Anak, which come from the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Everyone say grasshoppers. Grasshoppers. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And so now we've got a vision problem, because they're thinking about how they see it and how others see it, but they're forgetting to think about how God sees it. And all the congregation, verse 1 of chapter 14, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And so that's why it is important for us to weep for a moment, but to rise up as the people of God in this hour, in this nation, and to say we can do all things through Christ, amen, the one who strengthens us. And we, the church, are going to be a bold and glowing example of what love and harmony and mutual respect and human dignity looks like. Here we are. Amen. And so, yes, just give God praise for that. All right. So, of course, the thing to do when you feel like a grasshopper is murmur against the pastor. And so they did that, verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Pastor Moses and against Moses and against Aaron, because the associate pastors have to get their share. Pastor Jan, sorry. And the whole congregation said, we wish we'd died in the land of Egypt. And why did you bring us out here to kill us? Same kind of, they've been there before. And then verse 5, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the congregation, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, they rent their clothes, and they spoke to the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Well, God wouldn't take them to something that wasn't really good, because he's a good God. Yeah. One day Moses cried out to God, God, show me your goodness. Show me your glory. I love this passage. Can't show it to, I don't know exactly the verse. But Moses said, God, show me your glory. And God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to pass by you with my goodness. The goodness of God is the glory of God. Amen. The goodness of God. Moses wanted to see his glory, and God said, I'll show you my glory. I'll show you my goodness. And so when we talk about, oh, the glory came in, and oh, the glory this and the glory that, we really are referring to the goodness of God. He is good. And they said, the land that we went through is a good land. And verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he'll bring us to this land which he gave us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Verse 10, but all the congregation wanted to stone them because they preaching that good news, like Joel Osteen. Let's hate his guts because he's just too positive. And like these two, they're just too positive. We can do it. God's able. He'll help us. It's a good land. We can go into that land. We can live in that good land. We can possess that good land. Oh, you're just too positive, you two. Let's stone those guys. And then later, in chapter, that same chapter in verse 24, here's God's promise. God says, but my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit, another spirit, he followed me fully. I'm going to bring him into the land whereunto his seed, for his seed, and he will possess it. So always remember, no matter what the masses do, if we will trust God, if we will believe God, if we will stand on his word, even if no one else possesses it, he'll let us possess it because we have a different spirit. Okay. What to do when you feel like a grasshopper? I've got 4 points. If you're a note taker, Al, please. Okay. Number one, we must remember. When we're feeling that intimidation, when we're maybe it's something we put on ourselves. Maybe it's something that we just never felt secure about a part of who we are, or whatever reason we're feeling small. We're feeling less than. We're feeling intimidated by. We're feeling like we're not the success that God has called us to be, and we're not really sensing in our own awareness the greatness that God has spoken over us. We have to remember that if God brought us to it, he'll see us through it. Amen. And the Bible lessons over and over and over and over again. The whole Bible is full of stories that if God brought you to it, God will take you through it. Amen. Let's say it together. If God brought me to it, he'll see me through it. All right? So if God brought you to a place of promise that looks like there's intimidation looming large and the enemy is raising up his ugly report and whatever, if God brought you to that place and he's got purpose and plan for who you are as his son or his daughter, if he brought you to it, he'll see you through it, yes. Through the Red Sea, yes. through the snake bite on the island of Malta, through the storm in the ocean with Jesus or the sea. Turn with me to Numbers 23:19 real quickly. If you're there in Numbers, just a couple of pages over, Numbers 23:19. Listen to this now. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is God the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will not do it? Has God spoken it and will he not bring it to pass? So if God said it, he will do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. We have to remember that God is not a man that he would lie. Jeremiah 1:12, God says to Jeremiah, hey, I'm watching over my word. I'm watching over my, if I said it, I'm watching over it to perform it and to bring it to pass. So number one, we must remember that God is faithful. And if he brought us to it, he'll see us through it. Number two, we must recognize we've gone buggy. You are not an annoying insect. You ever been around people that just make you feel like that, though? Their look or their attitude or their, just make you feel like, who are you and who do you think you are? Or you tell yourself things. Sometimes we inflict this on ourselves, this insect thinking, this grasshopper mentality. And we must recognize when we have gone to that place of feeling less than who we are in Christ. Have to recognize that. Because then when we recognize it, we get a hold of ourselves and we begin to do something about it. Remember, if God brought you to it, God will see you through it. And recognize if you're in that place of feeling less than. You are the apple of God's eye. You are created in His image. You are significant in the kingdom. You are part of the body of Christ. You are not a misfit, but you are a fit. You're not an accident, but you're an on purpose. Are you with me? And it's, listen to me. All of us, listen, all of us face this grasshopper mentality from time to time. We all have that sense of wondering, am I enough? Within every man in this room, listen, men, you'll affirm this, I believe. Within every one of us as men, although we might look big and strong and tough and confident and all that, in every one of us is a little boy wondering, am I enough? And I've got good news for you. You are enough. And Christ is your sufficiency, and you are complete in Him. And when you have those self-doubts, and ladies, I can't speak for you other than I would assume we have the same kinds of things going on in us, in our hearts and minds and emotions, and that you have those same kinds of thoughts. So you have to recognize when you're in that grasshopper place and not accept that that's where you're going to camp out, because it'll cost you. Feeling like a grasshopper will cost you. You'll make poor decisions. You'll go the wrong path. You'll choose the wrong person. You'll make bad deals. Are you with me?
Yep.
Feeling intimidated is not a healthy place from which to live our lives. So remember, if God brought you to it, God will see you through it. Number two, recognize when we've gone buggy. Back to Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. That again, they said about themselves. We saw the sons of the giants of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And so that's called buggy thinking. Number three, refocus. Refocus. Now, part of the reason God instructed them to bring back some of the fruit of the land was that they could look at that. You know, it's important to have vision in front of us. It's important to see the solution and not just major on the problem always. How many of you know it's easy to think about, oh, this happened, and to magnify the problem and how daunting and how intimidating and how ominous and how... It's so easy to do that. It doesn't take much internal fortitude, intestinal fortitude, courage to know that there are problems. How many of you know there are problems? Problems, problem, problem. But we have to move past that, and we must refocus. And so it is important for the people in this story to begin to look at the fruit and say, well, you know what? There were hassles there and giants, and there were some walled cities, and yeah, there may have even been some giants, but we're not going to see ourselves as they saw us, or we're not going to see ourselves even from our own perspective, but let's look at that fruit. Did you check that fruit one more time? Do you know when Goliath had presented himself to the armies of God, and Saul was there, and all those mighty men of valor, and all of them intimidated to go out and meet Goliath. David came along with some cheeseburgers from, he brought in an In-N-Out order right into the camp for his brothers. And so he's wanting to know about how the battle's going. And about the time he's passing out the cheeseburgers, the double-double, I'm sure it's what they were, he hears this roaring, thunderous giant voice, fee-fi-fo-fum, or whatever he said, and made this challenge one more time, send someone out to fight with me. And David looked around and goes, I don't see anybody moving. And King said, no, ain't moving. His brother said, get back to the sheep, and what are you doing out here? And scolded him, wanted him to feel like a grasshopper, because that's how they were feeling. And they wanted David to join in on that grasshopper mentality. And but someone mentioned to David, now David, whoever takes out that giant, they get to marry the king's daughter and they never have to pay taxes again. And he asked him three times, now tell me that again, what's going to happen? It's funny if you read it. What? Tell me again what's going to happen to the guy that takes out that giant. Well, you get to marry the king's daughter. And you never have to, again, and the king's going to make you rich. and you never have to pay taxes ever again. And he went to someone else. He said, now what's the reward now if you take that giant out that has no covenant relationship with our God? And we do have a covenant relationship. And if one of us takes him out, what's going to happen again? Tell me again what's going to happen. And they said, well, David, for the third time, you get to marry the king's daughter. The king's going to give you great wealth, and you never have to pay taxes again. He's keeping the fruit as his focus, not the ugly, bad breath giant. That's not his focus. The reward is his focus. The blessing is his focus. The fruit, the pomegranates and the figs and the grapes, that's his focus. He's looking at something other than the challenge. He's looking at his covenant position, and he is looking at the reward of diligence, and that's what he's focused on. So when we're feeling like a grasshopper, like David very well might have if he hadn't focused specifically and intentionally on the blessing, then we might have a grasshopper thinking next week too. We have to refocus on the fruit. Now turn with me to the Gospel of Mark chapter 6 and this beautiful story of Jesus and his disciples, Mark chapter 6. And they're ministering, and this is the multiplication of the loaves and fish it's late in the chapter. This is a long chapter. And in verse 37, they said, well, we need to send, his disciples came to Jesus, the verse 35, and they need to send him away and get so they can go into town and get food. And Jesus said, why don't you give them something to eat? And they said, it's what we have is insufficient. I love to preach on this. When what we have is insufficient, God is our sufficiency. And if we will simply take what is insufficient and get it into God's hands, God will make it not only sufficient, but more than sufficient. So we have insufficient to sufficient to more than sufficient, because they took up baskets full to carry away. So he said, give them to eat. They said, we don't have anything. Well, he said, what do you have? And they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he commanded them to sit down by the companies, and they divided it, and everyone ate. And verse 43 says, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fish, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway then he told his disciples to get into the boat and to go to the other side. So Jesus, when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and Jesus alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by, but they saw him walking on the sea, and they supposed that it had been a spirit, for they all saw him, and they were troubled. And immediately he talked to them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And he went up into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure. I mean, when we read this sometimes, these are human beings that had given up their lives to follow Jesus, and they're struck with fear. And then Jesus comes walking on the water, and more fear. And then he gets into the boat, and the winds and waves calm, and then they're just blown away. And verse 52, but here I want you to see this, because we have to refocus. When they come back from the promised land and fear and unbelief, those seeds of fear start to get sown. They had right there at their disposal a focal point that could have turned the tide of that moment, the focal point being the fruit. Yeah, but look at that fruit. It's just like God said. Look at that fruit. That's our inheritance. Look at that fruit. That's what our Heavenly Father, who has delivered us out of Egyptian slavery and bondage, wants to give to us, but they didn't refocus. They stayed focused on the giants. They stayed focused on their ability. They stayed focused on someone else's judgment of them. They stayed focused on the wrong thing. We must refocus. Number one, remember, if God brought you to it, he'll see you through it. Number two, we have to recognize when we've gone buggy and remember that that's not our place. And then number three is refocus on the fruit. And verse 52 says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They're afraid because they didn't remember the miracle of a few minutes ago or a few hours ago, the multiplication, the miracle of the loaves and fishes. And because they were focused on the current challenge, rather than refocus on how awesome God is, and remember all the miracles Jesus has been doing, and the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, I've never seen anything like that. We had 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands of people and had more than we started with left over. They weren't thinking about that. They're thinking about, I need to get myself some meclizine. I've got a little seasick up in here. Are you with me?
Yep.
They're thinking about other things. So important for us to refocus when we're feeling like a grasshopper. So if you feel like a grasshopper, number one, remember that God is faithful. He's not a man that he would lie. If he brought you to it, he'll see you through it. If he said it, he will do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Number two, recognize that you've gone buggy and that's not your place in life, that you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. Number three, refocus. Refocus on the past successes and the past victories and the past miracles. The prior miracle of multiplication of loaves and fishes, just thinking about that would have helped them to be strong even in the midst of the storm. Are you with me?
Amen.
And number four, and I conclude with this, realign your expectation. Realign your expectation. Because in Numbers there, it's very interesting. There were two perspectives in verse 30 and 31. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But those that were with him, be careful who you hang out with. Be real careful what stuff you listen to. Seriously, Jesus, and I talk about this a lot, but it's so important. Jesus said, take heed what you hear.
Amen.
Be careful.
Yes.
The kinds of even good, maybe well-intentioned, but misguided ministry people who have sort of a mixed seed word.
Right.
It's important for us to always live on this side of the cross.
Amen.
To live after Jesus paid the penalty, the price of sin. And not try and go back and take a little bit out of wrath and judgment but to live here where God has made through the blood of his son peace with men. Are you with me?
Amen.
Live there. Live on this side of the cross. Live as a New Testament believer. And not a mixed, a little old, a little new, and something borrowed and something blue, or whatever the brides say. And they said, we can't go up against them. We're not able to go up against them. We can't do it. It's impossible. That won't work. Those kinds of people are toxic to your journey. You can't do it. That won't work. It's not going to happen. Doom and gloom. Mad, sad, bad news is not what we're called to. We are called. Listen closely. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus said, go preach good news. Good news. Now we know that times are tough. We don't live like an ostrich with our head in the ground. We know that things go on, but man, in the midst of all of it, in the midst of all the giants, in the midst of all the walled cities, in the midst of all that, there were still a people of faith who said, we can do it. Let's go up at once. And they said, we cannot go in. We are not able to go up against them, for they are greater than we. So here are the two perspectives. We must realign our expectation. Are you a he and we believer? Or are you a they and we thinker? Because Joshua and Caleb, they're thinking about he and we. He being God and we. And the 10 that came back with an evil report, a fear report, a paralyzing report, a wrong report, a not what God said about it report, they're not factoring in God. They're not, he's not even in their dialogue here. It's they and we. No, I have good news for you today. Before you leave out of this building, it's not they and we, it's he and we.
Amen.
Our God is with us, and if God be with us and if God be for us, who can be against us? So if you're feeling like a grasshopper, I have really wonderful news for you, because Joshua and Caleb got to go in. Are you with me? They were outnumbered, and a lot of people sloughed off there and were buried in the wilderness, but the two that got to go were the two that believed.
Amen.
The two that got to go in were the he and we believers, not the they and we thinkers.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Oh, but they, whoever they is, they are just out to get me. They're just too big. They're the giant. They're daunting. They're intimidating. Don't let the they factor in to whether you're going to receive what God promised you or not. It's he and we. Man, that's good. Remember, if God brought you to it, he'll see you through it. Recognize if you've gone buggy and stop it. Refocus and look at the past victories. Remember and recall. You know what? Every one of you here today, here you are.
Amen.
And I don't know how many times in your past that you thought you weren't going to make it another day. Or I can't serve God another week. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. I don't know if I have the stamina to carry on in my journey with God. But you're here. So just that says you've got things to look back at and to celebrate and to encourage yourself in the Lord and to say, man, I've made it this far by faith. I'm going to carry on. And that we allow ourselves to refocus and we realign our expectation and factor in God. Not just we and they, but he and we.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.